This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Brought to you as always by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. Scheduled to join us here momentarily is Tim Bontemps. Covers the NBA for ESPN and ESPN.com. As Byron Kerr just said, going to have a new NBA champion this year because the Bucks were eliminated. Uh-huh. The finals last year were Bucks-Suns. You know, for so many years, you had LeBron in the finals year after year after year after year. And now the last couple of years.
Now you're seeing some parity.
Starting to shake it up, yeah. Get some new blood in the NBA finals. All right, Tim Bontemps joins us right now on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hello.
Doing great.
So, just curious, not going to kill you because I had the Bucks and Suns in the finals. Who did you have in the finals before the playoffs?
I did have the Bucks and Suns in the finals. But before this round, I had the Celtics and Mavs winning those series. The Bucks not winning because Chris Middleton was hurt, and the Suns not winning because, frankly, they looked pretty bad against the Pelicans. And, you know, I'd say it played out the way that, at least after that first round, the way I thought it was going.
Well, clearly there was something wrong with Chris Paul. I mean, he limped out of the arena. He limped out of the arena, and they talked about, I don't know who reported it, but he's got some sort of a thigh issue. But he clearly was not right physically.
I mean, look, maybe he wasn't. Or maybe the Mavs attacked him for 5 games and wore him out because he's 37, right? Like, I mean, the guy was out there playing. He wasn't on the injury report. Like, you know, I'm going to give credit to Dallas for the way they systematically took them apart as the series went along. And look, the Suns were an amazing regular season team. But when you looked at them going into the playoffs, they had serious structural flaws. Their third guard was Cameron Payne, who isn't any good. The backup centers were Bismack Biyombo and JaVale McGee, who aren't any good. Mm-hmm. They had no way to play as a small ball five. They were trying to play Torrey Craig there. He wasn't good enough to do that. They played DeAndre Ayton 17 minutes yesterday and then basically dumped on him after the game and wouldn't say what happened. He's a pretty good player. I mean, they had a really good regular season. They have a really good team, but they had to have everything click perfectly for them to win games in the playoffs. And the bottom line is, after the first 2 games of the series, they did not. And that's why they're done.
Can you fill us in and the listeners on what was the back and forth between CP3, Booker, and Luka? Because Luka definitely played with the chip the last few games.
Well, look, I think the Mavs are an interesting team, right? Last year, Rick Carlisle gets fired after they lose again in the first round, and they go hire Jason Kidd, and everybody was kind of curious to see how this was going to go. And I got to give Jason Kidd a ton of credit because he has pushed all the right buttons with this team. And you go back to game 2 of the series, right? Dallas gets smoked. The first 2 games, Phoenix is shooting, Devin and Chris are shooting like 65% on long twos the first 2 games. They're hitting every shot, and they're attacking Luka in every single defensive action, right? They're putting him in every pick and roll. They're putting him in everything, and he got destroyed in game two. And Jason Kidd comes out after that game and basically says, look, Dirk had to learn how to participate on defense over his career, and Luka's got to do the same thing. And you know what? Luka got way better on defense as the series went along, and he played way better as the series went along. And I think, you know, Chris and Devin don't mind chirping a little bit, and Luka certainly doesn't mind chirping a little bit. And I think, you know, there was definitely some back and forth there as the series went along about, you know, Luka's defense and how that went. And certainly they made some comments after game. I shouldn't say made some comments, but it was clear after game two what they were doing, which is trying to make fun of him, not make fun of him, but take advantage of him defensively and pick on him. And Luka took that personally. And, you know, people don't, I think regular NBA fans don't necessarily realize this, but before Luka even came to the NBA, he won the European Championship with Slovenia, which is like the size of Rhode Island. And he won the Eurobasket title Real Madrid when he was a teenager. So this guy has won at the highest levels his entire life. And to come back and play the way he did certainly was not a surprise to me.
And then offensively, I mean, in elimination games, look, the first two times he was in elimination games, they played the Clippers. Facing Kawhi and Paul George, two pretty good defenders. Yep. And he put up 39-9-9 and 46-7-14 in those games against Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and superior rosters. And this year, again, he doesn't have an all-star with him. He's got some good players around him. But he does. He's not surrounded by all-stars, and he's just taking it to these guys. He can get whatever he wants whenever he wants on the court.
100%. Look, this is going to be Luka Doncic's league very soon, right? That is where this is headed. I think they're beating the Warriors. I think they're going to the finals.
Ooh.
I don't think they're going to beat the Celtics. I think the Celtics are winning the title. Mm. So I think that's how this is going to go over the next couple rounds. But look, we are rapidly approaching a point where, you know, you got Jason Tatum with the Celtics, you got Giannis Antetokounmpo with the Bucks, you got Luka Doncic with the Mavs. We're heading towards a point where you could see those three guys jockeying for these kind of for championships and honors and awards for a long time.
What about Ja? Do you throw Ja Morant into that mix?
And Ja, look, Ja certainly is going to be in the mix for that. I am always terrified Ja's body is going to break in half with the way he plays, but he's going to be in the mix for that too. And I think, you know, you look at that Grizzlies-Warriors series, the reason why I think Dallas is winning, A, Luka is the best player in the series like he was against Phoenix, and B, the Warriors had a hell of a time beating the Grizzlies without Ja even playing, and with Dillon Brooks going 5 for $1 billion in every game.
Hmm.
I think they're going to have a lot of trouble slowing down Dallas and beating them over 7 games. But yeah, I mean, listen, you're right. Luka is already proving to be an unstoppable force in just his fourth year in the league. And, you know, to me, if his conditioning improves next season and he comes in fully ready to go from the start of the year, he's going to be the MVP of the league easily.
So the Celtics-Miami Heat series, you already said you're like the Celtics there. Miami, though, is a very, very deep team.
They are. Their issue to me, guys, is they can't score. I had to sit. I mean, while Celtics-Bucks is one of the best series I've ever seen, I was covering Heat-Sixers, which was the equivalent of 6 regular season games in a row. And those two teams just couldn't. Those two teams are not on the same level of these other teams we're talking about. And I know Miami was the one seed, and maybe I'll look stupid in a couple weeks, and they'll have won. They've got a great coach. They've got a ton of experience. They've got a terrific roster of defensive players. But with Kyle Lowry's hamstring bothering them, I just don't think they score enough to beat this Celtics team. You know, Jimmy Butler was able to do whatever he wanted against the Sixers because they didn't have anybody to really guard him. The Celtics have 5 guys they can put on him, right? You can put Grant Williams on him. You can put Jason Tatum on him. Put Jaylen Brown on him or Marcus Smart or Derek White. Like, they could throw all these guys at him just to try to slow him down, and they could guard him one-on-one while staying with these three-point shooters. And really, that's Miami's offense is essentially give the ball to Jimmy, space the floor, have him run pick and rolls, and either kick and shooters or score. And I just think the Celtics can shut that down, and I think they have a lot more options on offense to score than Miami. If Kyle Lowry was 100% healthy, maybe I'd feel differently, But I just think that the Celtics have one of the best defenses I've ever seen, and I just don't think the Heat are going to be able to score enough to win that series.
Well, Tim, one of those offensive options for the Celtics yesterday, I'm not sure where it came from, was what Grant Williams did. 27 points, 7 3-balls made, 18 attempted. It's the most 3-point makes and attempts ever in a game 7. I mean, they're not going to get that every night, but if they have that in reserve, then they are pretty scary.
Well, I'll tell you this, guys. I mean, you say they're not going to get that every night, but, you know, Grant Williams this season shot 41% from three-point range. For whatever reason, the Bucks' defensive game plan yesterday was to leave that guy wide open every single trip. Like, the reason he took 18 threes was because he wasn't guarded, right? Like, I don't know. I would have maybe started guarding him when he started making half his threes yesterday. You know, and I know he'd slumped a little bit in the series, but he's proven over the course of the season to be a really good three-point shooter. He lost a bunch of weight last summer. He remade his three-point shot. He's one of the best three-point shooters in the league this season. And I did not understand that strategy by the Bucks. There, as you guys know, over time, right, like Budenholzer's teams, that's how they play. They leave, they pack the paint, and then dare you to beat them from three. But if the guy starts making every shot, at some point you need to adjust to that and try to guard it. They did not. And like you said, as a result, Grant Williams was just in a shooting gallery yesterday, and his life was pretty easy.
By the way, isn't that a terrible approach now by Budenholzer, where everybody can shoot threes? You're just going to pack the paint like you're facing a bunch of dinosaurs?
Well, listen, I mean, listen, it tends to work, right? Like, they have had a lot of success, but Mike Budenholzer's teams have also given up a billion threes in the playoffs a lot of times. And, you know, this has been one of my longstanding criticisms of him, is that he does not adjust enough in the playoffs. But I will say this, you know, we spent this whole time, we haven't talked about Giannis. Yeah. Giannis is the best player in the universe, and by so far. And the only reason that this series was remotely competitive with Chris Middleton not playing is that Giannis Antetokounmpo might have had the best series I've ever seen a player have. Like, he was absolutely incredible from start to finish. I mean, the only guy ever to have 200 points, 100 rebounds, and 50 assists in a series. He had 40 and 20 in game 6 at home, when he only lost because, Tatum had 46 and the Celtics hit a ton of shots. And even yesterday, he was incredible again.
Yep.
And the bottom line was, he just had no help other than Brook Lopez hitting some shots in the first half. Just nobody on the team could make a shot. They essentially traded P.J. Tucker for Grayson Allen. He stunk yesterday.
Right.
Pat Connaughton couldn't hit a shot. Drew Holiday, who had a great series, couldn't hit a shot. They just couldn't score. And, you know, for as great as Giannis was, it just wasn't enough.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they'll ever go 4 for 33 from threes ever again. I mean, that's an outrageous number when you missed almost 30 of those attempts. Now, I get it. I mean, Boston's good at closing out and getting your hands in your face, but they couldn't hit anything.
Well, and you know the other thing too, guys? They gave up home court advantage the last day of the regular season. They lost to Cleveland. They tanked the game, and the Celtics didn't. They went to Memphis and won, and that ended up mattering a lot.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I said to people from both teams, don't be worried about playing the Nets in the first round. You got to have home court advantage when you're playing this other team in the second round, because the Nets stink, and this is the series you're going to have to win. And, you know, the Celtics, you could argue, might have been playing to avoid Toronto for other reasons. But at the end of the day, they play the Nets, they beat them, and they then get game 7 at home. And like you said, the Bucks, you know, role players shoot better at home, right? The Celtics guys shot the ball well in game 7. The Bucks didn't. If that game is flipped around and it's in Milwaukee, hard to imagine the Bucks lose that game, right? But that's what it came down to, ultimately.
Yeah, I agree.
Joined by Tim Bontemps, national basketball writer for ESPN. So you opened up saying the future of the league is Luka, Giannis, Tatum. How do you see these next couple of years going for LeBron and the Lakers? Does he stay in L.A.? Can L.A. become competitive again, or are his title days done?
Well, I think at least next year they're going to have a hell of a time to be competitive. I mean, just look at the West right now, guys. We'll play a little game. Dallas, I think we agree, is going to be better than the Lakers, right? Phoenix should be better than the Lakers. Memphis should be better than the Lakers. The Warriors should be better than the Lakers. Denver should be better than the Lakers. The Clippers should be better than the Lakers. That's already six teams automatically that are better than the Lakers. That's before you get into whatever New Orleans is going to look like, or Utah, or Minnesota. So that's already the teams that I think are going to be in the regular playoffs. So the Lakers, to me, at minimum, have the ceiling of a play-in team next year. And, you know, we've seen the last couple of years, just because you're in the play-in doesn't mean you're going to get out, right? So I think it's going to be a challenge for them to make the playoffs, let alone challenge for a championship or challenge to get out of the West. I mean, you look at their team this year, guys, you could argue the third best player was Malik Monk, right? They don't necessarily have a way to keep him under the salary cap right now. They have to figure out what they're going to do with Russell Westbrook. Nobody wants him. They haven't hired a coach yet. They haven't shown really any acumen to build a team in the front office, other than, you know, LeBron James wanting to live in Los Angeles and Anthony Davis wanting to play there, and so they could trade for him. You know, they let Alex Caruso go last year. They paid Taylor Horton Tucker instead. He's not very good. They signed all these minimum players that weren't very good. They don't have any salary cap space. So I think it's going to be a huge challenge. And, you know, we'll see who they hire as a coach, and we'll see what they end up doing. Maybe LeBron and AD will be healthy for 82 games, and they can, you know, sneak into the bottom half of the playoff picture. But, you know, you look at these teams that are playing deep in the playoffs right now, do you think the Lakers are beating any of them over seven games?
Nope.
It's just right. Well, it's hard to see it. And that's before you factor in any injury stuff with LeBron at this point.
So you mentioned the coach thing. So they did get permission to interview Kenny Atkinson, who's with Golden State. Have they already interviewed him, or does he have to wait until their series is over or the playoffs are over?
I would guess they've interviewed him already. I honestly don't know exactly how this stuff works. I mean, typically those interviews last for an afternoon. Right. So, like, you could fly down there, do the interview, and fly back to the Bay, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, they've interviewed Darvin Ham. You know, they've interviewed a bunch of different people, but, you know, again, let's see if the Lakers are going to spend on a coach. I mean, they've proven to be a pretty cheap organization. Let's see if they're going to, you know, go fairly deep into the tax. Let's see what they do with Westbrook. Are they going to try to actually turn him into other players, or are they going to just buy him out, or are they going to try to somehow run it back with him, which will be a disaster? I mean, it's a very, very, very difficult puzzle to put together, and if you had the best front office team in the league, I'm not sure they'd be able to pull it off, let alone the group the Lakers have together.
Curious, if you had to bet on what happens here in D.C. in the coming year or two with Bradley Beal and this team, what do you expect?
I mean, look, we've talked about this for a long time, right? Ted is not really a guy who wants to trade away his star players, and Brad, at every turn, has ultimately decided to stay. So could I see a scenario where Brad decides to leave? Sure, I guess. But I think if you're asking me to put money on it in one direction or another, I'm going to assume Brad's going to be here, right? And he's going to re-sign. And, you know, the Wiz are going to try to, you know, keep putting this thing together going forward. I know they're optimistic about what Porzingis can give them going forward. You know, who knows? Maybe they'll get lucky tomorrow in the lottery and jump up, and they can get, you know, a Chet Holmgren or a Jabari Parker or a Paolo Banchero, one of these guys, or Jaden Ivey from Purdue, who I'm very intrigued by. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they can get one of those guys, give them a boost of energy too. But yeah, I mean, look, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens there with Brad and the Wiz, because, you know, to me, they've been in stasis for a long time, and they should trade him for a bunch of stuff and really try to start over. But that's, like I said, you know, we all know how Ted operates. That's not really how he operates. And so I think if you're betting, I'm going to bet that Brad's going to stay, and they're going to continue to be kind of in the same position they've been.
Which series will you be at this week?
Ugh. Eastern Conference Finals.
Gotcha.
Flying to Miami in a few hours.
All right.
Good choice.
Have fun.
Yeah, enjoy.
Have fun down there.
I appreciate it, guys. All great right. Catching up with you. We'll
all
talk
right.
soon.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Tim.
Tim Bontemps, national basketball writer for ESPN. Coming up next, we open up EB's entertainment page on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.